Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening. Responses.
And I think any response to that question of what is victorious Christian living, any response is going to often be based on what's the biggest need in your life. You know, what are you dealing with? And there's a lot of different things. You know, I made several points of what we could talk about and different things. And even though we might think, like, let's say you're dealing with something in your body, you're attacked physically, and healing is a big thing to you. Well, then, of course, victorious living would mean walking in health. Or maybe you've had a lot of financial issues in your life. Well, then, having all your needs met and walking in prosperity, that would be victorious Christian living. But the thing is, and I was thinking about this today, the thing is that all the different things we can see in the Bible, and you can separate them for teaching purposes and things like that, but you talk about healing or prosperity or being led by the Spirit, walking in wisdom, having a good family, having success in whatever area, it all fits together. You know, prayer, all this different stuff, it all fits together, and you can't completely separate all the different issues. And for me, that brings it right back again to what Pastor was just sharing, that it all comes back to the Word, different paths, because this is where we're going to get it. And they'll give you different formulas sometimes or ideas, well, you got to do this or you got to do that. But really, if you want success, you've got to come back to the Word. That's where it's all going to come from. And the first verse, we've got several verses we're going to look at. Let's go to John 10, because to me, this is the definition of victorious living. And you probably heard this verse before. And unless I mention otherwise, I'm going to read verses from the New King James Version. And now I'm sure most of you know, or if you don't, I'll just tell you. But I live over in Germany. I've been there 18 years as of next month. I teach in churches. I teach in Bible schools. This year, I've been in 5 different countries so far, 10 different schools, some different churches, things like that. And from what I see, my own personal observation, and then talking with different people, teaching in the schools, teaching in the churches, most Christians really don't have a victorious life. They've got a measure of it, a small degree of victory, maybe in some areas, but there's other areas where they're really struggling. And that's not the way God wants it to be. I like what Jesus said in John chapter, and this is the verse that I heard before I actually became a Christian that really got a hold of me, because I thought, is this actually some possible thing for me? You know, John 10:10, Jesus said the thief, and he's talking about the devil, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and then they may have it more abundantly. I really like that. He says the devil's going to come. He's going to try and ruin your life. But Jesus said, I came to give you a better life. And I remember when I heard that, I thought, is it really possible that my life could be better than it is? And this is the great news, that no matter where we are, even if we would say, yeah, I have a victorious life today, even if we would say that, there's still another level we can get to. For myself, when I spend time talking to God, when I'm reading the Word, so many times it's as though he's just challenging me, come up to another level. It's time to take another step. We never should get to that place where we're just complacent and thinking, well, I've got it made now. I'm doing everything I need to do. I know everything I need to know. Because you never get to that point. Wherever we're at, there's always going to be another level. Because Jesus said here, I came to give you a more superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. I really like that. I looked it up in the Greek and everything. I can't read the Greek words, so I'll just pretend. But it means where the last two words in the verse in my translation, where it says more abundantly, it means super abundant in quantity. Super abundant in quantity. Not just barely enough to get by. Not like, you know, you get to the end of the butter and you're trying to spread it on your toast and you barely got, oh, come on, man, just to the end, and you can't quite make it. No, that's not what he's talking about. So much butter that you got to scrape it off, right? That's super abundant in quantity. But then he also said superior in quality. And this is something I don't see with Christians. Do we have a superior life to other people? We're not trying to say, oh, I'm better than you and I'm so great and you're so weak or, you know, you're so bad. But do we have a superior life? That's what Jesus came to bring us. Not just give us a new set of rules and a bunch of legal regulations that, well, you follow this and you do this and you observe the other one and then you're my disciple. No, he said, I came to give you something better than you could ever have on your own. Jesus is the living word. He's given us the written word, and if we stay with it, if we dwell there, if we live there, it'll change our lives. Now, I got born again 35 years ago. I was in kindergarten, of course. Yeah. See, and they start lying in Bible school. What are you going to... That's really bad when the preachers are lying in Bible school. No. but I can look back at... I was at another church the other day, and well, there's stories I could tell about that. But anyhow, you know, just talking about what it was before I was a Christian, and my life was just a mess. It was a disaster. It was just a wreck. But even I can look back even, yeah, really even 10, 20 years ago. Not that my life was so horrible. You know, 10 years ago, I was living in Germany and teaching the word and doing some great things for God. But even from those places where my life was a mess before I got born again, when I was a young Christian, I didn't know very much. As I've been growing and developing, walking with God, fulfilling his plan in my life, I've seen increase in development in all these areas. I've seen superior things as to what I've seen in the past. And it's awesome. You know, there's no other belief system in the world, I hate to say religion, but there's no other belief system in the world that can compare to Christianity. There's nothing like it. The rest of them, they all give you, it's like the carrot and the stick, you know? If you do the right stuff, here's the carrot hanging in front of you. You got to chase it, you got to chase it. And otherwise, if you don't, we give you the stick. We whack you in the head. But God's not like that. Jesus said, I came to give you all this stuff so you can have a superior life. That you have more than enough for everything you need. That's prosperity in every area. You know, 3 John, there's only one chapter, verse 2, says, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Every area of our life should be superior. Again, not comparing ourselves to other people. But as we look back at our life, we should say, you know what? My walk with God today, my life is superior than it's ever been. It's better today than it's ever been. And if it's not, well, thank God there's hope. Amen? Was it bringing hope to the city, or how would you say it here? Hope to the hurting, or isn't that what you guys say? Listen to the podcast. A lot of people, they don't have any hope. That's what it is, changing culture with the message of hope. Yeah, I listened to the podcast. I'm behind right now, so forgive me. No. But isn't that great? I remember before I was a Christian, and even sometimes after I've been a Christian, you feel like, is this all there is? Have I reached the top? You know, can I get any farther? You know, is this all the better I'm going to have it? But thank God, we don't have to stay where we are and just put up with the life we have today. No matter what situations we might have going on, you know, two of the biggest areas for Christians are always the physical and the financial. You know, you also have the part about being led by the Holy Spirit. But we can sometimes look at ourselves and think, you know, I think this is all it's going to be. What was that movie with Jack Nicholson, As Good As It Gets or something, right? And he was like, is this as good as it gets? And I was like, no, you big dummy. There's Jesus. It can be better. We never have to say this is as good as it's going to be. This is the top. This is the highest thing. No, because when we leave this world, we've got another world. We've got a whole eternity, as we call it, with God. Isn't that awesome? Colorado, and they go up and climb on the mountains, get to the top, many thousand feet. And, you know, it's like, isn't that cool? And people are climbing up the Himalayas and, you know, Mount Everest and stuff like that. But with God, there's never not, that doesn't make sense. With God, there's always another mountain to climb, so to speak, right? You know, I was preaching at a church one time, and, you know, I think about some of these things as I get older. But, you know, because I'm 56 now, but that's not even old. My mother's older than me. She always has been. That's really amazing how that works. You know, she's always been older than me. Every year I get older, but she's still older. But, you know... a lot of people, they start thinking, you know, we put ourselves in little compartments. Well, you know, this is my education, or this is my financial situation, or this is my age, or this is my national or ethnic or whatever background. This is who I am. And we even put ourselves in a little box. Other people are always going to try and put a box on you. Oh, well, you're too much this, or you're too much that. But I was preaching at a church one time, and I don't remember the exact subject. But I was talking, and this guy comes up afterward, and he said, man, he said, I really liked your message. And this guy with opportunities, and he said, that's wrong. I said, that's right. I like what Caleb said back in the book of Joshua, where they went into the promised land, and he was one of the 12 spies who believed what God said. He believed when God said, you can go and have that land. He believed it. Most of the people didn't, so they had to wait another 40 years. God said, all right, you were in there 40 years looking at the land. You guys didn't believe what I said, so now you can wander around 1 year for every one of those days, 40 years. But when that time was up, they went into that promised land, and Caleb said to Joshua, said, look, I'm 80 years old, and I'm ready for a rocking chair, and give me a nice little blankie, and you know, make me some warm cocoa, and I'll just sit here. And no. He said, you know what? He said, I still want that mountain. Well, there's giants up there. I don't care. He said, I still got the same strength. My eyes are clear and sharp. I'm ready to go. And he was living under an inferior covenant. He didn't have God on the inside like we do today. We've got a big advantage, don't we? He was 80 years old, ready to climb up a natural mountain and fight some natural giants. How about us? Is there any mountain too big for us? Is there any giant to stay in your little territory? This is your little area. You stay right here, because if you try and move out of here, there's a big mountain and there's a big giant, and I'm going to whack you in the head. But no matter how big it might look to us, God's bigger. 1 John 4:4 says the greater one is in us. Not the greater one is up on the mountain and we better be scared. No. The greater one's living inside of us. And he wants to give us, or I should say, he wants to help us live that abundant life that God called us to have. Jesus came to bring it. He provided it for us. He's gone up to heaven now, and he said, okay, I've given you everything that you're going to need. So now we've got to walk that life out. We've got to live that life that he's called us to live, and the life he wants us to live is a victorious life. You think how sad it is when God sent his son to die on the cross, to pay the price for sin, to open the door for us to have a relationship with God, to have the greater one live on the inside of us, to give us all this truth, to set us free from sin, to have, give us victory over the devil. And how many Christians, they're living way down here. They're just getting kicked around their whole life. And it's sad. Back with the Germans. You know, our pastor, he got a revelation, Pastor Alex, and he's German. And he had a revelation. He said, you know, people are always asking about, in Revelation it says there's silence for half an hour. And he says he knows what that is. He's got a revelation. He said that's when the Germans get there. Just like, glad to be here. Hallelujah. He's a German. He can say that. But you know, you think about it. How many Christians are living below that standard that God has for us? Even in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 28, he said you should be the head, not the tail. You should be above only and not beneath. But how many times are we, like we say, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. Well, what are we doing under there? Well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Well, why are you under the circumstances? You know, go over to Romans chapter 5. And find it here in my notes. Romans chapter 5. But I like this verse. I got several verses. My trick is always trying to take out the verses that I don't need. I got too many all the time. Oh well. But it's in Romans 5. I have it in my notes somewhere here. If not, I'll look it up the old-fashioned way. But in Romans chapter 5, I like what it says here. And this fits right in with what we're saying. Romans 5 and verse 17. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, Romans 5, 17. He says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, now that's talking about Adam, because of Adam's disobedience, because of the sin that came into the world through his disobedience, and we're in that same family line, because of that, death, spiritual death, separation for God was ruling and reigning. All right? This is before the law and all this stuff. Anyways, go on in that verse. He says, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, in the past, spiritual death, that separation from God, ruled over everything. God brought the law so they could have a sacrifice for sin and cover the sin and deal with some of that. But he said, in the same way that this spiritual death, separation from God, I like that. Not just survive in life, not just get by in life. And this is what annoys me with people. None of you, because Oregon's wonderful. Everybody's happy here, right? But I go some places, and people are just living the most miserable kind of lives. I mean, Christians are, they're just struggling to get by, and they think somehow this is how it's supposed to be. Well, God gives me the grace to go through this. Really? No, he gives you the grace to get above those things. Now, like even yesterday, one of the flights, I forget which one I was on, that, you know, we're going through some turbulence and it's bumping. And what do? Do they just sit there, you know, when they're having the rough weather and everything? Do the planes just keep flying through it and saying, oh, well, this is all we can do? No, they get up above that stuff. That's what God wants us. If we're reigning, you know, this is like a royal term. If you're reigning, you're the king, you're the boss, you're the guy that's on top. You're not the one that everybody's telling what to do. You're the guy who's telling everybody else what to do. That's what it means to reign in life through Jesus Christ. We can't pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so super, I'm so lovely. No, without Jesus, we're nobody. We had a teacher in Bible school, a guy named Keith, In Him Confessions. I can do all things through Christ. You know, he supplies all my needs. You know, I'm anointed, I'm called, I'm the righteousness of God. And he goes on. He said, now let's make some in you confessions. I am nothing, I know nothing, I can do nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm defeated. Without him, we're nothing. But with him, we can reign in life super abundantly. Amen. You know, I was at a church talking about something like this one time, and I just kept hitting this thing, and I realized this, that for some people, just getting that idea into your mind is one of the challenges. Just believing that you can do it, that you can go from where you are to something better, that you don't have to stay where you are, that there is a victorious life that God has called us to live. The key to it is the Word. But God wants us to live a better life than we've ever had before. The life really that God is calling us to is something beyond our imagination. My relationship with God today, it really is. I mean, I look at my relationship with God today, and it's just so much better than it ever was in the past. And if you would have told me years ago, well, Jim, this, that, and the other thing, I'd go, really? I mean, that was a little too hard for my mind to grasp, and that's one of our problems. Because our mind gets in our way. Most Christians, they're living by their emotions, they're living by their thoughts, and that's why they're limited. Because they're not reigning in life, because their mind is always stopping them. This is one of the reasons we need the Word. You can go to Romans 12. This is another one of the points here. One of the things that we need to live a victorious Christian life. You know, first of all, I would say this. Number one, what is a victorious life? Well, it's living the kind of life that God called us to, the abundant life, reigning in life. But then what do you need for that? Well, of course, you got to keep God's word in first place. That would be like, I guess, main point number two. But you got to have God's word. It's got to be in first place. That's got to be the main thing. That has got to be the focus and the center of everything that we do and think and how we believe and how we act. Because if it's not, what are we putting in its place? No. You know, in my family, we always do this. Well, your uncle or even your dog above the word. You may love your dog or you may love trees or you may love whatever, ice cream, but none of those go above God. It's funny to me, kind of sad really, to see what some things will put in place of God. Well, you know, I know that's true, but no. It's the yeah, but, and you don't understand. I wish I had, in America here, I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard people say that. Well, yeah, but, oh, you don't understand. And when people tell me, you know, they start giving me all their troubles and how miserable life is and how sad and why it has to be that way, and they say, well, you don't understand. I always say, no, you don't understand. You don't understand the truth. You're not walking in the truth. And then they look at me, huh? What? Yeah, we'd be better like in Proverbs, you know, even a fool is considered wise if he doesn't talk. Sometimes we'd be better off not saying anything because we sometimes start talking and we give ourselves away. Yeah. And I'm standing there talking to people. I go to a church and the more they talk, they realize you're the person in church. You know, and they want to tell you everything. You just, and the more they talk, they realize you realize the less that they know. And you just got to stand there. Oh, man. No, not here. I wasn't looking at Don for any special reason. No, I'm kidding. But almost every church has one of those guys, you know? Oh, man. Yeah, but that's me. Romans 12, one thing we've got to have, we've got to renew our mind with the Word. We've got to keep His Word in first place. And then one of the points under that, I'd say we got to renew our mind. Romans 12, and this is such a big need. I was remembering either, I think it was last night, you know, I did a message years and years ago. They used to have that commercial for 7-Up, the Un-Cola. You know, this was years ago. So I did a message called the Un-Generation. Undeveloped spirits, unrenewed mind, and uncontrolled bodies. Yeah. They all kind of did the same. Ooh. See, we had a big pulpit. That was in the church I worked in. We had a big pulpit so I could hide behind it. You know, no holes so they couldn't throw stuff and hit you. No. But it's true. Romans 12, Paul said some great stuff here. Romans 12, we'll just look at the first couple of verses. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, so he's talking to Christians. This isn't all the heathen out there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, you present your body like a sacrifice, and you need to renew your mind. And if you do this, you'll be transformed. And then you're going to know the will of God. Because when so often we see something in the Word, or the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we have this direction from God, from the Word or the Spirit, and what's one of the first things that happens? Our mind jumps in the way. Oh, no, you can't do that. That ain't going to work. This won't feel good. It won't make you happy. You better not do that. Right? But if we get our thinking to be in line with God's thinking, it's easier to do His will. If we renew our mind, we'll be changed. We'll be transformed. And if we don't, something else is going to happen, and we'll be conformed to the world. We're like in the age of sensory overload. Information overload. I mean, it's everywhere. The first thing on the airplane, well, now they got Wi-Fi on the airplane, too. Oh, help us, Lord. You know, you land, and what's the first thing that happens? Ooh, I needed a fix, man. I needed a fix. It's sad. Yeah, oh. Man, that's what I said today. I said, you know, I'm kind of mean. I said, can I put a shock collar on people? And then, you know, I'd be on the airplane, and they'd get out their phone, and I'd be, put your phone down. And I turned mine on so I could call my mom and say, I'm here. But, and then let Bob know I'm here. Anyway. But we've got all this information coming at us, and it's going to do something to us. And if it's information from the Word, it'll help to set us free. And if it's information from the world, it's going to put us in a box. It's sad. You don't feel safe in Germany. I see. I don't know what the news has all been in the States, but I've had several people here that say, do you feel safe in Germany? I see all this stuff on the news. Do you feel safe? I'm like, number one, yes, it's not as bad as you might hear. And number two, have you ever heard about God? I read in Psalm 91 that, you know, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it won't come near me. I'm not going to have any problems. I don't live in fear. Our pastor was just doing a series on Psalm 91. He said, we got so many people that are just living in fear. I can't do this and I can't do that. Why? I might get hurt. I might get killed. I might get blown up. Yeah. Really? So your trust and confidence is that some bad person is going to hurt you. That's where your faith is. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. No. But what do we believe? Are we being conformed to be just like the world? We're being fed all this junk from the news and from the rest of the world, telling us how we're supposed to think and how we're supposed to live? Or are we being transformed by renewing our mind? Are we submitting our body and treating it like a sacrifice and saying, you know what, I'm not going to follow just every little desire my flesh has. I'm going to do what the Word says. I'm going to follow the guidelines of the Word of God every little, and follow the Holy Spirit of God to know what I should be doing. And here's Champ. He's running around. I want to go outside. I want to do this. I want to do that. He's an animal. He's supposed to act like that. But people aren't supposed to be like that. Every little whim and desire. We're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to follow the Word. And so many Christians, it's just amazing. We've got to put God's Word in first place. Another good one, Proverbs chapter 4. You can go there. I like the Bible. You know, some people are football fans. I'm a Bible fan. But Proverbs 4 is another good one. We've got to renew our mind. You know, I've got all these notes, and, you know, we're talking about victorious living, some stuff with Bible interpretation, and I've been looking at the notes, and thinking, now how is this all going to fit together? I got some ideas, and, you know, we'll just see where it goes. So I laugh because, you know, he's kind of giving me the direction as we go through it here. But it's all good. One of the schools good. We need the word. You know, I said this. I said this over in one of the schools in Germany I was at. And, you know, over there, football is football. Here it's American football. That's what I call it, to keep it all straight. But I said, you know, a lot of guys, they don't think it's, and here it works too, but you don't think it's strange to sit there and watch a whole football game. But if somebody says, let's read the Bible for 20 minutes, you're like freaking out. Oh, going in the cold sweats. I can't deal with it. We don't think anything of, you know, watching a movie or, you know, doing whatever. But what's the most valuable thing we could have? It's the word. And not that you can't watch a football game. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin. If you're not a Packer fan, they, like, kick you out of the state. It's almost that bad. Yeah. Not exactly. I used to live in northern Wisconsin, and it's almost like they worship the Packers. It's amazing. When they would lose a game, it's like the whole state would be depressed. I mean, seriously, I'd work with these guys, and they'd go, like, into depression. They lost. What am I going to do? Well, you know what? I'm not conformed to the Green Bay Packers or the Seattle Seahawks or the Ducks or whoever, Beavers, Ducks, Chipmunks, whatever they are up here. I know we got the Beavers and the Ducks, but anyway, Badgers in Wisconsin. No, what does he say here in Proverbs chapter 4? Proverbs gives us the what? See, this is the thing. Yeah, the timbers, that's right. The timbers. But first, we'll have this superabundant life, and we'll have time for all the other stuff too. We try to put all the other stuff first. Oh man, I got to follow my team. They're doing this and they're doing that. Well, if you put them first, you're going to be conformed to them. You'll be a timber. Timber. But if you put God and his word first, you'll be transformed. And it's amazing how when you put God first, all the other stuff fits in there too. But if we try and put our stuff first and then fit God in at the end, it doesn't work. And we'll never really be satisfied. How do I know? I tried it. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, and let's start at verse 20. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Pay attention to my words. Not just everything else you see, to his words. Says, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. He says, incline your ears. Literally means prick up your ears. What? What was that? What was that? Huh? That's what he's talking about. Pay attention. Listen. What? What was that? Years ago, you know, they used to have this commercial. When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens. The stockbroker, then I think he got, well, I won't say. Anyways, had some problems. But that's how it needs to be when we hear the word. It's like, what? What was that? What was that? What did he say? What did he say? Not just like, yeah, okay, that's nice. Yeah. Is it time for lunch yet? No. We need to pay attention to the word. We need to put it first. We need to keep it in front of our eyes because it's life and health to us. It's strength to us. So think about this. If putting God's word first is what we're supposed to do, if we've got to pay attention to it because it's life and health and strength, then what's the opposite of that? If we're not paying attention to it, it diminishes our life. It'll diminish our health. It'll diminish everything. This is the problem we have. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of other people. The problem is we're not keeping God's word in first place, and we're not spending time with the word. When I was in Bible school, you know, Bob and I graduated in Rhema, USA, 1989. And I remember, I think it was my first year of school, and this same teacher, Keith Moore, he said, some Christians have never even read the whole Bible. And I thought, well, that's me. I've never read the whole Bible. You know, some of that Old Testament stuff, I don't want to read all that. This guy was the father of that guy, and that guy was the father of this guy, and that guy was the cousin of this, and they had two dogs and a sheep. And I'm like, but I said, you know what? I'm going to read the whole Bible. So I went through and read the whole thing, and I've read it since then. And I'm going to keep on reading it, and I'm not going to stop. And I want to keep reading it more and more. But some Christians, they hear it once on Sunday maybe, and they think about a verse during the week, and they usually get it mixed up, and that's about it. Well, if the word is going to give us life, then what's going to happen if we take that away? Huh? You know, it'd be like, you know, somebody, like if you're sick or something, they give you the oxygen or some kind of medicine, and that's what you need to live. Well, what happens if you take it away? We need to get that mentality that God's word is our life, it's our strength, it's the source that we need, and if we don't have it, we're going to suffer because of it. Now, you can't always treat people the way you ought to treat them or you'd like to treat them, but a lot of times people come say, I have this and I have that. And I'd like to say, how much you've been reading the word? How much time you've been in the word today?
Well, I had the cat to feed, and you know, I had to have coffee and look out the window.
Yeah? But this is the problem. I like our pastor said this once. You know, all the phones, they've got the little the meter for the battery. You know, how low, how high is the battery? He said we should have one of those on our head about our word level. Where's our word level? Most Christians like blinking, like beep, 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 beep. Charge me, charge me. Help me, help me. That's where a lot of us are at. And notice I said us, because we're all there somewhere. None of us is exempt from the word. None of us can say, well, I've heard too much of it. You know, before I was a Christian, I saw people who like had too much of stuff, like overdose and stuff, but I've never seen somebody overdose on the Bible. Oh man, he's got too much of the Bible. I never think that. I never meet somebody and think, you know, you better stop reading the Bible. You're reading too much. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. That's dangerous. But in my Bible, you know, I got my alumni sticker, a little Germany sticker. There's no warning that says danger, danger, hazardous to your health. There was actually a group wanted to put that in there. This is hazardous to your health. Because the Bible says, well, if your hand offends you, cut it off. But yeah, that's part of one verse, Bible interpretation area. But we've got to read the whole thing. Even the parts you think are boring, read them. You think about this. Why did God give us all this? Why didn't he give us just like one page? You know, I got my tablet. Why can't we just have one thing and that's it? Thank you, Lord. I can read that in like 20 minutes and that's the end of it. No, he knew we needed a lot of stuff. And there's a lot more in here than we even think there is. There's a lot more in here than we realize. And I'm still amazed because my life, my profession, my job, calling, whatever you want to say, is to teach the Bible, teach the word. And I spend time reading it. I spend time studying it. And I've been doing this for years. And I'm still amazed. I'll be reading it and I'll think, I don't remember seeing that before. I didn't know that was in there. I'm like, what? And then the Holy Spirit gives me, he'll give me connections with other parts in the word. Like, think about this and think about that and look how this fits here. I'm like, oh. And I kind of feel sorry for most believers because I know they're not there. And I know that because I look at how they live and I listen to them talk. And I see what they're doing. Oh, Jim, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. People always say, pray for me, Jim. I say, okay, I'll pray for you. What are you going to do?
Well,
will you pray for me? Your whole existence is based on my prayers. You're in trouble. Yeah. Oh, no, no, you need to talk to me. You need to help me. You need to pray for me. You need to do this for me. Okay, what are you doing with what I told you before? Doctor, I need a new prescription. You know, you gave me that medicine. I need another prescription. Well, is the bottle empty? No. What do you mean no? Well, I didn't take any, but I need more. No, wait. You take what I gave you before. No, I need something different. No, you don't. You know, we're going to take our first break, but I remember I was in a school somewhere in Germany, and I was teaching actually the New Testament class, and I'm teaching this class, and I'm going on, and I could see some of the students are like, they're writing, but they're like, come on, get something exciting. Say something really interesting or really fantastic or amazing. And I just stopped and said, you know, some of you are waiting for me to say something amazing that'll change your life. I said, but everything I'm saying will change your life. You're just looking at it wrong. You're waiting for the fireworks. Ooh, write that one down. Oh, I like that. Whoa. But if you're waiting for that, disappoint everybody. So it's true.